Romans chapter 6, 1 through 14 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or how do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Say newness of life. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man," say old man, "was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we also believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also," underline it, "reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Today I want to talk about, now, the last few messages, this message is kind of where I wrap it up in a bow, kind of use some points that I talked about over the past few weeks. So I feel like it's some kind of a continuation as well. Today I want to talk about how to walk in newness of life by having victory over sin. How to walk in newness of life. So the title of this message is simply this: how to walk in newness of life. Say newness of life. This message is targeted at and intended to help Christians, because unbelievers, I don't know if you know this or not, but unbelievers, they're slaves to sin. Amen? Christians are not slaves to sin. Because why? We have a choice to walk in obedience to God. Amen? And so therefore, an unbeliever, they cannot overcome sin. It's just what they do. They still have that spiritual sin nature on the inside. Now, listen to this. It's a scientific fact that something cannot truly impact your life or your thought life or your conscious mind or unconscious mind. Are you following me? Here we go. It is a scientific fact that something cannot truly impact your life without there being some kind of an emotional connection or an emotional attachment to something, okay, like an event. That's why on 9/11, something that was real impactful where you had emotions attached to watching that. How many of you can remember exactly where you were on 9/11? How many of you can remember exactly where you were when you lost a loved one? Come on, somebody. I'm talking about something that truly had an emotional impact. That's something that's going to impact and change you. Does that make sense? So do you realize then that we as a Christian, that we have the God kind of life living on the inside of us? It's called the Zoe kind of life. It's the God kind of life, the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, listen to this. When you got born again, you should have felt something. You should have felt something. Something in emotion on the inside. Ready? That something is different. The sin nature can't be kicked out. The Holy Spirit can't reside in your spirit without being some kind of an emotion. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you as a Christian. So there should be some kind of... That's why if you got born again, are you ready for this? You should remember that event. How many of you heard before, oh, well, I've always been saved from, 6 months old. No, there comes a point when you got born again, you were at that age of accountability where you could make the decision for yourself. The Holy Spirit drew you, and you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And there should have been some kind of an impactful change. Ready? That changed you from the old man, come on, to the newness of life. Because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? If you would meditate on and fully comprehend and take hold of that powerful truth that 2 Peter calls, says this about us, 2 Peter 1, that we are to be partakers of the divine nature. That divine nature it's talking about is the new man. Say new man. Something should have happened. Something should have happened when you got born again. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Something had to happen. Someone says, well, we don't ride by our emotions. No, but when something happens that's impactful, the emotions are impacted. Am I not right on that? So the newness of life that the Word of God is referring to includes being partakers of the divine nature. All right? What does that mean? To be overcomers and victorious on this earth. How many of you want to be victorious on this earth? How many of you want to overcome? How many of you have problems in your life with maybe a certain sin, a certain bondage, and you love the Lord, but you just can't seem to break free? This message is for you today. All right? So here's what we got to say then. When you got born again, ready? You should be living differently after you got born again. Things should be different. You should be seeing things differently than you did before. You should be seeing evil things and saying, okay, something's not right about this. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Did that happen to you when you got born again? You got born again and your whole nature changed on the inside and suddenly you're seeing things clearer. It's like someone took sunglasses off and it's like, wow, I'm seeing this whole topic differently now. Now listen to this. To partake of something means that you are taking advantage of a benefit of something. To partake of something, you're taking advantage of a benefit of something. It's interesting that Jesus is called the bread of life. All right? And another scripture says these words, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to notice that you need to spiritually taste to be able to see the power of God. And it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, ready for this? Nobody's force feeding you, including the Holy Ghost. And it says, taste and see. In other words, your will is involved. You have to taste it for yourself. So when you start tasting, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start to see that the Lord is good. So taste is talking about this. Personally, say personally. Partaking of the goodness of God in your life. Partaking of the benefits of a personal relationship with the Lord. It's up to you whether you taste and see. If you don't taste, you're not going to see. You got to taste. Come on, somebody. You got to taste. You got to feed on the Word. You got to feed on the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a personal relationship with Him before you're going to see the goodness of God. Amen? So it's up to you whether you taste and see that the Lord is good. And that depends whether or not, ready for this, if you're walking in the newness of life. Many Christians aren't seeing the power of God manifested in their life like God intends them. Amen? How many of you know, how many of you can say right now where you're living spiritually in your life right now, how many of you can say that's the absolute perfect will of God where you're at right now? I can't even say that, and I'm a pastor. Because there's more. There's more. Why? Because we're a constant work in progress. Amen? There's always more. There's always higher highs. Amen? There's always deeper depths. It's a never-ending process until we see the Lord face to face. Amen? So it's kind of a trick question what I was asking you there, right? But to do that, you need to partake of, you need to activate the benefits of God that he has to offer. The Word of God said in Romans 6 that once a person is born again, here's a spiritual reality. Say spiritual reality. This is a spiritual reality. Romans 6 said that once a person is born again or saved or made Jesus Lord of their life, they are indeed dead to sin. That's a spiritual reality, amen? You're dead to sin. In fact, it says these words, ready? It says that we need to reckon or consider ourselves to be dead to sin. Are you ready for this? If you don't reckon or consider yourself to be dead to sin, guess what you're going to do? Sin. You're going to sin, all right? Now, what is sin? Let me just give an easy definition here. The definition of sin is this: an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. Basically, it's a failure to meet God's holy standards in thought, word, and deed. There's sins of commission, meaning things that you do to sin, and then there's sins of omission, which means you're not doing something that you should be doing. Ay, 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 isn't that, it's like, whoa, it kind of makes you paranoid, right? Whoa. All right. But listen to this. Unfortunately, there are many Christians that are giving place to sin in their thought life at the expense, I said at the expense, of dulling their spiritual sensitivity to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit. All right? They sear their conscience. What does sear mean? It means to dull it. You're dulling your conscience. All right? In other words, your spiritual ears are getting plugged. You're not hearing that born-again spirit. You're not hearing the Holy Ghost on the inside as clear as you did before. All right? They're searing or dulling their conscience, their spiritual sensitivity. When you drink something, I said this before, but when you drink something hot, what happens at first? You drink it, and it's like, oh, man, that's hot. Whoa. But you keep doing it. Oh, it feels a little, it's still uncomfortable. You keep doing it, and after a while, it doesn't bother you anymore. And that's what's happening every time you sin. Every time you rebel against the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, you're searing. You're taking that hot drink. And eventually, you keep on sinning. Eventually, you're dull to it. You're numb to it. Are you following me? You are not sensitive to it like you were when you first, come on, got born again. The greatest hindrance to hearing from the Holy Spirit is sin. And here, listen to this. Ready? I'm going to take it a step further to make it a little clearer. Ready? Unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Or in other words, what I'm saying is sin, ready? Ready for this? Sin that becomes habitual. Yeah, you're going to mess up. The question is this. Is it a habit now? Have you made a practice out of that thing? Or are you truly trying to step in the way of that thing and say, I don't want to do this anymore? Are you following me? Unconfessed sin, or sin that has become habitual. If you have strayed away from the Lord, if you have made a mistake, here's very simple. Ready? Confess it. The word confess means you're agreeing with God. You're agreeing with the Word when you say, God, I confess. Yes. Forgive me. Forgive me for looking at this, or forgive me for doing this. Forgive me for holding bitterness or unforgiveness. You're agreeing with the Word that says that's a sin, and you're saying, Father, I have done that. All right? And so you confess your sin, and you forsake it, and you receive forgiveness for it. And guess what? Get going with your day. Keep moving. Now, listen to this. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to justify your wrong actions, because that didn't work for Adam and Eve in the garden. I heard these words. As I was writing, I was looking over my notes this morning, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke these words, and I wrote it down right here. He said, I reward honesty. I reward honesty. Repentance is not just feeling emotionally bad about something. It means to change directions and start living in obedience to the Lord. How many of you know? How many of you know when you sin, you can do it and now you feel bad, but then you get up the next morning and you do the same thing. You feel bad. Repentance means a change. It's a change. Amen. All right, so it's a change of direction. In Romans 6:4, the Word of God says that we should walk in newness of life. Again, it says, ready? Don't miss it, because one word can change a whole thing. Are you ready? It says we should walk in newness of life. So if we should walk in it, it's possible as a Christian not to walk in newness of life. It doesn't, listen, a lot of people say, well, they're never saved. That doesn't mean that. You can get saved and walk in obedience to the Lord, and then you can stray from Him. It doesn't mean you're an unbeliever. You believe. Come on, even the devil believes. Demons believe, but there's no obedience in them toward God. So it says we should walk in this newness of life. So if it says we should, it's possible not to walk in it as a Christian. Now, when you got born again, newness of life came into your spirit, man. Thanks to that, like I said, the removal of the sin nature and the Holy Spirit coming on the inside of your spirit, man, to live or dwell on the inside, okay? One thing that will help you to walk in this newness of life is realizing this. Are you ready? You are a spirit being. You are a spirit being. All right, you possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a physical body. So you can say it this way. The real you is a spirit and that possesses a soul. All right, when this body dies, you're still living. Amen. You're either taking the elevator up or you're taking it down, but you're living. Amen. All right, so you have that soul, all right? And think about this. This physical body is an earth suit. This only moves because my spirit and soul are telling it to do something. It's like a glove. A glove doesn't move unless there's a hand in it moving it. So you could say it this way. The real you is a spirit being, all right? And you have a soul. So the newness of life that Romans 6:4 is referring to is what Galatians talks about, is walking in the Spirit. Say, walking in the Spirit. That means allowing your born-again spirit man, all right, in conjunction, come on, with a renewed soul or mind, all right, and allowing them things with the Holy Spirit who lives in your spirit dominate or influence every area of your life. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, all right? It means you're allowing your born-again spirit man, your renewed mind, and the Holy Spirit to have influence over you. That's all it means. It has the influence, and it's controlling your physical body to, as a what? Instrument of righteousness. Amen? And when you do that, the Holy Spirit is in that process, right? He's on the inside. The Holy Spirit, one of His functions is this, to help you and I to live a holy life, all right? He is always pointing us in the right direction. The Holy Spirit is always pointing us in the right direction, but we must obey Him. We must choose to obey Him. It's just not going to happen automatically. Your will has to be involved in it. Have you noticed that yet? Your entire unsaved life, you lived according to the flesh. You lived according to that sin nature that was on the inside of you. You were constantly moved by what the Bible calls the flow of this world system. How many of you know there's a flow of the world system that's from the enemy? That's what you were moved by. Now we need to be moved by the flow of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Before you were saved, you lived by sight and not by faith. Okay? Now, as a Christian, you are expected to walk by faith and not by sight. All right? And that requires, if you're going to walk by faith and not by sight, listen to this. That requires you to look beyond your present feelings and be disciplined. You have to look beyond the circumstances, and you have to live a disciplined life. How many of you figured that out yet? Amen? But many Christians keep trying. They keep trying to resurrect the old man. They keep trying to resurrect that dead man, that fleshly nature, that unrenewed mind, instead of nurturing it and allowing your spirit man to be the main influence in your life. Now, so we as Christians are commanded and expected then to reckon or to consider ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto God. You're not just dead to sin, you're also alive unto God. If you're dead to sin, you need to be alive unto God. Amen? And guess where that takes place? To reckon yourselves, consider yourself to be dead to sin and alive unto God. Where do you think that's taking place? In your thought life. All of your thoughts, in your heart, the Bible calls that. So you could say it this way then. Reckoning yourself to be dead to sin or considering yourself to be dead to sin and alive unto God is simply this. Let's just break it down to this. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. Say mindset. It's where your mind is focused on the Lord and His Word. You constantly are keeping His Word in there. So I want to give you, now I'm getting started. You ready? Now, I want to give you several keys that will help you to unlock your full potential, to walk in the newness of life. All right, that God intends for His people to walk in. He expects us to live in newness of life. Amen? We shouldn't be living like we were before we came to Christ. Amen? That's not appropriate. Amen? It's not appropriate. So all of these points must be active that I'm going to talk about today. All of these points must be active for you to walk in this newness of life. If there's a short in the system in even just one of these, you're going to resurrect the old man. You're going to resurrect the old man. So you ready? The first key that will help you to walk in newness of life on this earth is taking heed to the Word of God. Go to Psalm 119, verse 9. Remember, I told you some of these things are going to be what I talked about a few weeks ago. All right? Psalm 119, verse 9. Say, I got to take heed to the Word of God. All right, here we go. And it says these words. Better go to 119 instead of 109. All right, here it goes. How can a young man, really anybody, but interesting it says a young man. Say young man. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. To take heed to something means to pay attention to with careful notice. All right? To pay attention to with careful notice. To be aware or to be conscious of something. To give place to God's word in your life. You're aware of it. You're conscious of it. When you're faced with a decision to make where there's good and there's evil, you're aware that this is good and you're aware that this is evil, and you are going to take heed to the word and you're going to pick the good. Amen? It's talking about this, diligently paying attention to and acting on the commands of the Word of God. When you're doing this, you are delighting yourself in the Word of God. Say, I got to delight myself in the Word of God. Oh, yes, you do. Whatever you, remember I said this a couple weeks ago. Whatever you take pleasure in is going to be at the top of your priority in your life. Whatever you take pleasure in is going to be at the priority seat of your thought life, your heart. Amen? It will remain fresh in your thought life. So it's possible to get born again, to be on fire for God at first, and then lose that passion and fall away, ready, into the old way of living and doing things. I won't ask for a show of hands here. But I would say this, there is probably some point in every Christian's life where they're faced with that, how do I say it? You're faced with that decision whether you're going to press in for more or you're going to relax on your walk with God, and you end up getting a little cold in your walk with God. Would you agree with that? It does. It comes. There will come a point, all right? You got to understand this then. that walking in newness of life for a Christian, it must be maintained. Walking in newness of life, it must be maintained. Like I said before, you don't brush your teeth one time in your life and that's it, you're good to go, right? You better not. You don't comb your hair. You guys. You don't comb your hair one time and say, I'm good. No, it has to be maintained. Amen? So walking in this newness of life, there has to be some maintenance done. It's possible then to resurrect that old man of sin by not taking heed to the Word of God. Take heed to the Word of God to keep that new man that is created in righteousness, to keep him as the influencer over your life. Amen? To be the main influence over your life. The second key, number two, the second key that will help you and I to walk in this newness of life is seeking God with your whole heart. You must seek God with your whole heart. Now, look at this. Some reason the Holy Ghost is arresting me here on verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Oh, now here's why. A young man is going to have some temptations. Come on, somebody. The Holy Ghost is formulating something here. A young man is going to have temptations that are going to feel more overpowering to the young man than it is an older man. Did you just hear what I said? You heard it. And you know what just came to me? That some of the temptations, because it's biological. Sexual temptation. Hello, you want me to go there, people? Verse 10. So, I'm telling you, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10, let's move on. Say, move on, Pastor. All right. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Seeking God with your whole heart, all right? Does not mean that you just go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. It is a heart. It's thoughts that are focused on God 24/7. Come on, somebody. Where you are desiring to please him. Amen? Seeking God with your whole heart has more to do than what it does outside of these four. It has more to do with what you do outside of these four walls than inside the four walls. You're not in here very much. Your life is really being lived outside of these four walls. Amen? The more you seek the Lord during your personal Bible study and prayer times, it will become easier for you to put off sin and to walk in newness of life. I said the more you spend time in personal Bible study and personal prayer, you will find it easier. In fact, there's an example in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from temptation, deliver us from evil, right? That should be a part of your prayer request every day. Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from temptation. Lord, help me to overcome these bondages. Help me to overcome anything that the enemy tries to throw my way. That you should be praying for that. That if it's in the Lord's Prayer, it means it's scriptural for you to pray for. Amen? It means it's fair game. Amen? The more you seek the Lord, all right, you're going to notice things get easier. Why? Because the more you seek him, the more your focus is on him, all right? The more you're keeping fleshly thoughts from coming in. It's all about your focus. Say focus, all right? Because his word will stay fresh. It will always stay fresh. It'll be fresh manna on the inside of you, not stale bread. Amen? How many of you know fresh bread looks more appealing than stale bread? Amen? All right. The more you seek and take heed to the Lord, okay, in the Word of God, the more you will partake or experience peace and joy in your life as a Christian. When you seek the Lord with your whole heart, you are inviting the resources of heaven to come down and help you on earth. all right, to help you experience and to walk in. Come on, the newness of life. Say newness of life. Isn't there, there's just something about new things, something new. It's just, there's a freshness to it. Well, God wants you to maintain that freshness with him. He wants you to maintain that freshness in that love and desire, joy and peace. Amen. He wants you to experience. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. The problem is, guess what we do? We disconnect from it ourselves. He's trying to give it, but we disconnect from it with things that we do, things that we think, things that we say. Amen. You guys doing all right down there? So when you seek the Lord with your whole heart, you are opening yourself up to be used as a connector between heaven and earth. There's something about experiencing the presence of God that makes sin not look as tempting anymore. Thank you, you two. I'm telling you, there's something about his presence. It brings a fulfillment, a peace, a joy on the inside. It's like putting that missing piece of the puzzle in your heart that you don't have to wander and look for sin anymore. That's all that sin is. Sin is you're trying to fill the gap with something that God never intended for you to have in the first place. Are you following me? The third key that will help you to walk in newness of life is hiding the word of God in your heart. Look at Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding God's word in your heart, it's like putting a filter in your furnace, all right? It keeps the junk out of your house. I said it keeps the junk out of your house. It keeps the junk out of your house. Amen? It means that before you make a move, before you make a decision, you are filtering that idea. You're filtering that thought through the Word of God. Does it stay or does it fit within the boundaries of the Word of God or not? That's what, when you keep reading the Word, all of a sudden someone's going to say something and you'd be like, yeah, that's not right because it's out of step with the Word of God. But guess what? You don't have the Word of God in you. You're out sinning like a banshee. You're doing your own thing. You're just flowing with the world. Someone's going to say the same thing, and you're going to swallow it like a fish swallows a hook and bait. Are you following me? If it doesn't pass the Word of God filter test, you won't go there because you're hiding it in your heart. You will reject it, okay? And that is why it says that hiding God's word in your heart, it says that you will cleanse your way as a Christian. How many of you need some cleansing in here? Get the word in you. It'll help you cleanse your way on this earth. The word of God has the power to cleanse your mind, your thought life, and to cleanse every area of your life, all right? Hiding God's word in your heart gives the Holy Spirit, as I said many times, gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. The Holy Spirit's main tool that he uses on that hard heart of ours is the word of God. It's a hammer. It's a hammer. It's a hammer. The more you hear the word, the more he brings it to your remembrance, the more it weighs on you and it weighs on you. And the Holy Spirit's saying, stop. Stop doing what you're doing and follow this way. You're trying to find peace and satisfaction and joy in this way, and it's not happening. Why? Because I never intended you to have that, but it's over here. It's living righteously. Amen? That's where you're going to find it. Why? Because you were created in the first place to live righteous. Think about it. Anything that causes you true peace and joy, anything that causes true peace and joy, you were intended to walk in that before the fall of man. If you try to partake in the fruit of the curse, it's always going to bring disappointment. Oh, the word says it might bring joy. It might bring it for a season, but it's deception, right? Oh, come on. That girl, that guy, oh, yeah, they look real good, right? They look real good. Oh, yeah, you know, maybe you should do that. You know, maybe you should do a little bit more with her. Nah. Guess what? Listen, Oh, man. How far do I go on this? It ruins relationships outside of marriage. It ruins relationships outside of marriage. Why? Because God never intended it to be that way. Amen? I'm trying to keep it G, or at least PG, right? Also, the more word that's in your heart, the more it's going to come out of your mouth. Amen? Now, so just chew on that. Excuse the pun. No, don't excuse it. It is. Now, the fourth key. Ready? The fourth key that will help you to walk in newness of life is, I like to talk about, this is one of my favorite topics. You got to meditate on the word. You got to chew on the word. You have to, I like to say it this way, you have to engage your imagination for holy purposes on the word. All right? It is impossible to walk in newness of life without meditating on God's word. All right? That can include, by the way, that includes praising God as well. Keeping your heart full with the things of God, right? Because true meditation, remember, according to Joshua 1:8, true meditation includes speaking it. You're not just thinking it, you're speaking it. So when you're praising God, it really is a form of meditation on God and His Word. God's Word gets hidden in your heart. Listen to this, ready? God's Word gets hidden in your heart by meditating on it. God's Word, remember we talked about planting the seed that's sown on the top of the soil. How do you do it? When the seed is sown, this message is coming forth. Here's how you take it. When you start thinking about, you're at lunch today, you're talking to your spouse or significant other or your friends, and you're talking about this message. You're keeping it fresh in here. Guess what you're doing? You're saying, thank you very much, Pastor James. I'm going to put it in my heart. You're meditating on it. You're thinking about it. You're talking about it. Amen? So God's word gets hidden in our heart by meditating on it. By, what is meditation? Here it is. Ready? Prolonged thought on something. It's not just a passing thought. It's prolonged thought. You're engaging your imagination even on this thing. You're seeing yourself walking in holy purposes. Amen? Engage your imagination. I like that. Say, I got to engage my imagination for holy purposes. Having the Word of God hidden in your heart means that it's rooted. The Word of God is rooted in every thought. It's the main guide. It's the, come on, the rudder of your life. It's the rudder of what you think, say, and do. It means that the Word of God is deeply internalized in your thought process. It's become a part then of your belief system. Say belief system. You got to have it a part. So meditating on the word, it plants it in your belief system and it kicks out the wrong belief. All right? Not just to memorize it, but here's what you're doing. You're meditating on the word to allow it to shape and transform every part of your character. Anybody need any character shaping? We all do, don't we? All right? And the Bible goes on to say, again, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, all right? So, you know, your heart is a revealer of who you are. Your heart is really who you are. That's why the Word of God has so much to say about our heart. Not this. Down here. On Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? I said, everyone put your hand on your heart. Probably everyone just went like this. I said, I gotcha. No, your heart, your spirit is in your stomach. Because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's where your spirit is. Amen? And that's where the Holy Spirit is down in here. Right? All right. Now, so you can know then what's filling a person's heart, right? By listening to them talk for a while, watching how they live, just seeing what interests them. You know, those are the things that are kind of at the top of their heart chain, right? Look at Psalm 119. Verses 99 through 97. 99 through 97. Oh, I'm sorry. 97 through 99. What am I thinking? Oh, thanks for correcting me. You're going to make me look like an idiot in front of everyone around the world. All right. I see. You really got pastors back, don't you? Way back. Just kidding. All right. Psalm 119, 97 through 99. Look at this. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser," come on, "than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." Oh my goodness, that just jumped right out at me. "It's my meditation all day. Through your commandments, you make me wiser than my enemies." I like that. How many of you want to be wiser than your enemies? Wiser than your enemies in the natural, wiser than your enemies in the spirit realm. You got to get the word of God in your heart. Amen? So Satan knows that truth, and that's why demon spirits are working overtime to jump in the flow of your thought life. That's why they're throwing those thoughts in. They're trying to stop that flow. Look at Psalm 4, Psalm 4, verse 4. Hallelujah. Man, the word of God is so good. Psalm 4:4, and it says this. Look at this. This is interesting. "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." Now, meditating on God's word and meditating on your actions before doing them, ready for this, will keep you from sinning. Think before you act. Think before you speak. Amen? Boy, we could save ourselves a lot of problems, couldn't we? If we would just simply think before we do or say something. Amen? Stop and think before you act. And here's what you got to do. Again, here's a good point right here. And it's interesting, it connects it here. It connects it with being angry and not sinning. So notice, you can be angry and not sin. But you can be angry and sin. We want to be angry and don't sin. Come on, amen? And it says the way that you're going to be angry and do not sin, it's saying this: slow down and think about what you're doing first. Think about what's coming out of that mouth before you ignite a fire that you didn't intend to start. Amen? How many know this is the biggest problem right here? Right? Not necessarily our actions, it's this thing. This. It starts fires. And the word of God is saying, you want wisdom? Fine. Here it is. Ready? Think before you say something. Wow. Why? Because it'll stop you from sinning. Even when you're angry. Man, that's rich. Even with outward manifestations such as sickness and disease, the whole battle. So even this battle's raging. How many of you know when you're angry, man, you want to just lash out when you're angry, right? Oh, you just want to spill everything out. You want to, man, you're ready to hit a grand slam in this thing. But everything comes back to your thought process. Slow down. Think about things. Ready? Here it is. Slow down and engage your imagination for holy purposes. If you're angry at someone or something, just stop and picture yourself. If I go ahead and unleash this beast, come on, somebody. If I unleash this fire, imagine what's going to happen. If we would truly slow down and do that, we'd probably say, okay, all right, God, I get what you're trying to say here. I'm not going to do this. But remember, in that fit of rage, we're not thinking of consequences. That's an undisciplined mind. You got to slow down and think about your consequences. That's some good preaching. That's good pastoral counsel right there. Amen? Now, so the Bible says this. It says, don't make provision for the flesh. What does that mean? Provision for the flesh means that you're making it easier on yourself to sin. Okay, so you're ripping through Facebook, you're scrolling, and all of a sudden you're a man and you see this this reel or this video of this woman. And all of a sudden, you have a choice to make. Do I click on it or do I keep scrolling past it? You click on it, guess what it's doing? It's making provision for the flesh. It's stirring up those sexual emotions. It's stirring up emotions, come on, that shouldn't be stirred up. That's called making provision for the flesh. Amen? And I mean, you can use any kind of example you want, but that's a pretty good example, I think. I think it's pretty common, right? So don't make provision for the flesh to stir up that sinful. You know what you're doing when you do that? When you make provision for the flesh, you're trying to resurrect that dead man. That's really what you're doing. You're resurrecting that dead man that you're supposed to be reckoning or considering dead. Don't resurrect him. Don't resurrect that dead man of sin. Amen? There's only two kinds of thinking. Right thinking and wrong thinking. That's it. Right and wrong thinking. The Word of God is what straightens your thinking out into right thinking. Don't count on this world. Don't count on these temptations that are coming your way. Don't be led by your flesh. Be led by the Word. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The only thing that can set a person free is the Word of God, and specifically revelation of it. John 8:32 says this. It says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it's not just the truth that shall make you free. What is it? The known truth. You got to know some things. It's the known truth. Truth that's received. Ready for this? A revelation that's received by meditating on it. That will make us free. Make free, by the way, make. Notice it doesn't say it will set you free. Set free is like a one-time action. Make free, ready, is a process. Knowing the truth is going to make you free. It's going to start the process of setting or making you free, of bringing you freedom in your life. And notice it's the known truth, which means it's got to be up here in the thought life. Amen? So it makes you free. It, like I said, it implies a process, meaning changing your way of thinking from stinking thinking to right thinking. It's a changing of your thought process. It's a changing of your belief system. Now, remember I told you a week or two ago that faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't even have faith for something unless you know it's in the Word. You remember I said that? Faith, say that with me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So knowing the truth then, here's what's going on. Knowing the truth, ready, gives you the opportunity to exercise faith in that known truth. And that's why it makes you free. Think about that. You got to exercise faith in the known truth. How many of you know you can know a truth and it doesn't affect you at all in a positive way? How many people, how many Christians, you know the truth, you're just not walking in it. But you got to let it impact you for it to make you free when it's received into your heart. So just knowing the truth isn't enough to make you free. It's the known truth that's received and that you choose to have faith in. All right? That is the truth that will make you free. The fifth key. The fifth key to walking in newness of life. Ready? Is to obey the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Ready? Here's the key. Instantly. Say instantly. The fifth key to walking in the newness of life is to obey the Word of God and the Holy Spirit instantly. Don't delay on it. Don't delay on it. All right? Look at Psalm 119, 60 through 68. Psalm 119, 60 through 68 here. It said, "I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments." Catch that. "I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am," catch this, I am a companion, a friend of all those who fear you, and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. Oh, I like that. For I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Oh, come on now. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, say, but now, I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Oh, it's so good. If you hold off or put off obedience to the word of God in any situation, are you ready? You are giving place. You are making room. You're clearing room out. You're opening the door for the demonic spirits to step in the flow of your obedience and of your thought life. That's a bad thing. That's not good. You're given a place to the enemy. You're given a place for your flesh to influence your thought life, to not obey God. You are giving the enemy that opportunity to interrupt, I like to say, that holy flow of faith that was running on the inside of you. Here, remember I said this before. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Say that with me. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Instant obedience will help you to maintain your walk. Come on. In newness of life. In newness of life. So that means then for you and I to be able to obey God. Ready? Here it goes. You do not have to process everything before you obey God. You don't have to process it with your natural mind. The Holy Spirit prompts you to do something and it's obviously you confirmed it's in line with the Word of God. Do it. Do it. Don't give the enemy a chance to shoot it down. You know what just came to my remembrance? Peter walking on water. Lord, can I come out? Sure, Peter, come on out. Did he sit there and go, okay, Jesus, here I go. No. He's like, all right. And he stepped out and he did it. And he walked on water. Do you believe you could walk on water if the Lord told you to do it? I do. Oh, but that was Peter. That was Jesus. Hello, you're part of the body of Christ. You don't think you can do miracles, signs, and wonders with the help of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Instant obedience will help you to maintain your walk in the newness of life. The psalmist said this. He said, I am a companion of all those who fear or reverence you. Okay? Who you spend time with matters. Who you hang out with matters. Make sure your inner circle of your companions or friends truly fear or reverence the Lord. If they don't, get rid of them. Because they're going to take you down the toilet, spiritually speaking. They just will. Right? Maybe give them one shot. Where if they're trying to influence you to do something bad, maybe give them a quick slap in the face first and say, look, you better change or I'm out of here. No. Hello. Don't do that. That was just a joke. Don't sue us. No. But are you following me? You say, are you really are trying to influence me to sin? Like, bring it back at them. Bring it back at them. Are you following me? And if you notice they're not living for the Lord, you need to make some changes. You need to make some changes. Because listen to me, oh, it'll never affect me. Yes, it will. It will affect you. It absolutely will affect you. So have a heart-to-heart conversation with those people. Amen? If they're trying to pull you into sin. I'm not just talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about hanging out with backslidden Christians is what I'm talking about. All right? The ones that are not representing Jesus properly. I'm almost done. All right? Just that one point alone of who you hang out with will determine if you walk in the newness of life or not. All right? It comes down to this. Ready? Don't make the Christian walk any harder than it is for you by hanging out with jive turkeys. Amen. Don't make it any harder. Put yourself around good influences. And the last key, and I'm done, the last key about walking in newness of life is allowing nothing. Don't allow anything to offend you or knock you off course. Real quick, Psalm 119, 165 through 168. All right, 119, 165 through 168. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing, here it is, causes them to stumble. King James says, doesn't cause them to be offended. The Lord, I hope in your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Again, the King James Version uses the word offend, all right? I want you to notice that the scripture I just read, it contrasts being offended or stumbling with peace. People that, you know, offense, if you're offended all the time, I guarantee you this, you're not living a life of peace. Right? Don't cause anything to cause you to stumble, all right? You must choose one, because those two things will not coexist, all right? What would Jesus have done if he would have buckled and crumbled at every thought, every act of rejection from people during his earthly ministry? Thank God he didn't. Jesus wasn't moved by it. Guess what? Jesus was too busy fulfilling his purpose than to get caught up in any offense. Amen. He would have never finished his mission on this earth. So don't allow anything to cause you to stumble, to cause you to be offended. That's going to pull you off course. Stay focused on your mission. Stay focused on your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Amen. Stay busy advancing the kingdom of God. The busier you are working for God, the less time you have for drama. Hello. Amen. All right, don't allow anyone to invade any part of your heart with those negative things. Amen? So, church, we need to take heed to the Word of God. We need to seek God with our whole heart. We need to hide the Word of God in our heart by meditating on it. We need to obey the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit instantly. And lastly, don't allow anything or anyone to offend you or knock you off course. Amen? If you will be diligent to put these points into action in your life and practice them, you will overcome sin, you will be a partaker of the divine nature that the Word of God talks about, and you will truly, come on, walk in newness of life that God intends for you as his child. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Newness of life. Get rid of the old. Why would you want to go back to that vomit? Why would you want to go back to that vomit that God delivered you from? Amen. Prayer team, come forward. Now, if there's someone in here you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I always want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you the opportunity to do that today before you leave this building. I want you to come forward and pray with one of the prayer team members here and just tell them, say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. I want that newness of life. I'm tired of living life on my own apart from Jesus. Why? You're tired because you were never created to live it apart from your Heavenly Father. Amen? And Jesus is the only mediator. So come on down if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe today this message really hit you. Maybe, you know, you've been a Christian for a while, but you fell into that coldness. Unfortunately, you resurrected that dead man. But today you want to get back to that newness of life. Just come up and tell the prayer partner. Just say, this message really hit me, and I want to get back to that newness of life. Back to peace, back to joy. Amen? If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, very important part. In fact, you're not going to truly walk in the newness of life without the Holy Spirit baptism. Come down and receive the Holy Spirit baptism. Anybody need prayer for anything else, come on down. Amen? The rest of you, have a wonderful week. And if you need me, again, you know where I'm at. But really, think about this word. I want you to meditate on newness of life. It's time to get back to the new. Amen? I love you all. Have a great week.